Welcome in to Real Born and McKee today. We are missing our boy, Nick Kyprios. He is attending the service, the celebration of life for Greg Millen today. So we're going to give him a pass for that one. That's a pretty important important move for him. So wishing everyone there the best. Also today, with Sam McKee and myself, we've got Luke Fox in the house. Luke, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Small two-person applause for you there. Yeah, no, this is really cool. We're really happy to have you in. We thought this would be a great opportunity to preview the playoffs a little bit, take a look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. We are now three days away from game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Toronto Maple Leafs edition again.
How often do you come in here, Luke? You're the road dog. Always on the road.
I don't even do my reviews in here. Usually I say, like, let's go meet at lunch or something. My pass card hasn't worked for a long time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I was actually thinking, like, yeah, your bosses must be in this building here, but you are traveling constantly. So are you on every road trip?
Not everyone.
Okay.
But so if there's 82 games, I probably go to 74.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Damn.
I got out of that Carolina game.
Oh, you did.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And now it's full on.
Yeah.
It's full on.
Yeah. All right. Well, great. Well, so you've got a lot of experience and can fill us in on all the great details. Because tonight,
the
Toronto Maple Leafs are host to the Detroit Red Wings, whose season is over. The Leafs' entire goal is not to get hurt. I mean,
I have two pitches for tonight.
Okay.
I have two pitches. And I gave one in line to Luke at Tim Hortons before we came down here. My first pitch is forfeit. Like, is there a forfeit clause in the NHL? Like, can you be like, hey, we're paying $1 million to the league no game?
You'd have to refund every ticket purchase.
Yes, correct.
And then you'd have to pay the home, which is you, so whatever. You just say, yeah, we're just going to forfeit that $2 million revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Sammy, what about that 8-year-old and it's his birthday and he's going to his first game?
Well, you know what, Dad? Shouldn't have bought last game of the season ticket.
You know, it's a high-risk ticket to buy. It could be the most electric ticket of the season.
Or the worst. And it's about to be the worst. My second pitch is the clinch clause, which I gave to you guys in the lunchroom before we got on here.
Yeah.
Last week of the season, because I agree that if you start getting a little bit of chicanery before the last week of the season, then you become the NBA, which I don't want to do.
Okay.
But the last week of the season, there is so many games that are so meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And you look around the league and there's a lot of teams that are able to rest because of their cap picture and the way that they've done it. And like, look last night for Montreal, half the best players in the Carolina Hurricanes did not attend that game.
Right. It was 46% of their scoring did not play.
Yeah. So I don't understand why the league couldn't put in a clause the last week of the season for teams that are having cap issues, quote unquote, or teams that are spending to the cap or the way they're doing it. Just, you're allowed to rest some guys. Like, why are you not allowed to rest anybody? Like, you're like, oh, you're spending too much money on these great forwards. You got to send them out there in a meaningless game and hopefully no one gets hurt. It's weird and stupid to me.
But the league doesn't want to encourage, presumably, good players not playing in their games. But to your point,
last
you then
week of the
guarantee
season, that's
you
it.
Get them in the postseason.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Clinch clause?
The integrity of the league, though.
Yeah.
What if the Red Wings were fighting for something? What if someone's going for a record or a milestone? Like, then you got to, like, adapt the clinch clause on the fly?
Well, but what about...
You're only thinking of the Leafs here, because could be other teams playing for things.
I mean, last night, does that not infect... what is Columbus thing?
But they've earned the right to rest it with their cap management.
Yeah, yeah. But
your team wanted to pay all these guys money.
God forbid they have great players that they would love to rest. Tonight is horrifying.
Well,
tonight
good
is
news
horrifying.
For you. We get to hear from their head coach.
On. I got to put the clips in. I'm doing a lot today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm producing.
Sam's playing multiple roles tonight.
I'm sitting in the big chair.
So you were down at Morning Skate today?
I was down at Morning Skate, and they're doing the exact same lineup that clinched in Buffalo.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're no Kampf, no McCabe.
No Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Correct. They were all participating in the optional morning skate, so they're on the ice, which is a good sign.
That's great.
Which is a good sign. But, yeah, same lineup except Joseph Woll, and they're saving big Anthony Stolarz for game one.
Clearly.
Yeah.
So Do you anticipate that they'll have all hands on deck come Sunday?
I do. When the coach comes out and says, you know, I'm pretty confident they're playing, if you're a player and you hear that, you better
that
play.
That means you're playing.
you may be playing through something, but you're playing.
Yeah.
I hated, I mean, when was it 2 days ago or yesterday when he played the clip where he's like, well, I don't know, he's pretty tough, Ulrich Meinlars. He's pretty tough, so he's probably going to play.
Yeah.
If you don't play, you look like a wuss. Yeah. You look like you're not tough at all.
It is a message to them, but also, like, when I heard those clips, the more I thought about it, the more it's like, there is some head games that goes on with some of this stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Can you know, just not let the other team know who's going
to
be available?
Yeah, but to counter that, though, if they were feeling pretty good, you'd play them and you would rest Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, who finally has his 100 points, and maybe Chris Tanev, who's going to block 5 million shots over the next 2 weeks or 2 months, hopefully, if you're a Leaf fan.
Yeah.
So let's those see. Guys are in it.
The Clips are in, by the way, now.
Okay, cool.
I rock and roll here.
One last thing for milestones. It would be cool if Tavares scored twice tonight.
For sure.
Get to 40.
Definitely. I'd rather him play 1 minute.
Yeah.
Like, if Pontus Holmberg doesn't play 32 minutes tonight, I don't know what the coach is doing. I want Dakota Mermis looking like Cale Makar up there tonight.
That's, all right.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Let's start with clip one on trying to stay healthy tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there's no science to it. You go play. You know, we'll manage minutes and manage things best we can, you know. Just go play. Play smart. Play hard. Do the things you normally do. That's really what it boils down to.
Did you see last night the Winnipeg Jets' Namestnikov is, like, in a shooting lane. The D-man drags it around him and shoots it, and he kicks out his foot to block the shot, ends up going down the tunnel to the room. He's okay.
Yeah.
But you're never just fine. Like, it hurts. It's going to bother him in his skate, whatever. But it's, like, it's really hard to turn that off when you've been playing competitively your whole life.
Jason Robertson got hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, and how hurt, right?
Yeah, and how important is he?
Yeah.
And that was meaningless for Dallas. So,
yeah. It's scary.
Sam's going to be watching through his fingers.
Well, the National
League. This is the least fun game to watch year by a mile.
The Sharks 10:30. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, I had to work that.
But the National League instincts, like you said, where you can tell a guy, hey, take it easy tonight. I saw somebody tweet like, hey, like, give the beer league effort tonight. I'm like, yeah, you're playing in the wrong beer league. We want the opposite of beer league effort tonight. We want like the, you know, you want the all-star game energy tonight.
You guys laying it out in your team?
Listen, I mean,
the Zags?
Well, I've seen some guys do some things that are unspeakable in beer league. Don't get me wrong. But I just mean, like, it's hard to turn off, like you said, turn off the intensity, turn it off. And then when you're thinking like, oh, I shouldn't do this here, is when you kind of get out of character. Like, you must, like, if you played
stuck
in a game where you're not, I mean, not try.
Yeah,
like,
I played on a team that never won any games in college. The last game of every year was don't get hurt before golf season game.
Yeah. And did people get hurt?
Yes. Is the answer.
Because you're thinking, like, I don't want to do this. And then
you're like halfway committed to things.
Anyways, just a little bit spooky.
I do think it helps that the Red Wings have absolutely nothing to
play. They're
also
going to have
a preseason electricity to it.
Yeah. I wonder if they called anyone up or they're probably the same team.
Well, last game of the season, they let their guys play. I mean, they're not going to play again for...
That's a good point.
Yeah, they're out.
Yeah.
So they're not going to play.
Might as well play those guys. Yeah. All right. So we're getting close to knowing the lines for the playoffs here, where I would assume you're going to put them together as you intend them to be on Sunday night. Why would you not?
Mm-hmm.
So Domi with Tavares and Willie. Where are you on that? How does that feel for you?
I am firmly on the fence.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I think they can create at times, but, you know, even in that Buffalo game, there's one line of the Leafs that got outshot by the lowly Sabres, and it was that line.
Yeah.
It scares me a little bit defensively, and it wouldn't surprise me if that's what they start with Sunday, but it would surprise me if they go through a best of seven and that stays intact.
For sure.
I foresee a Bobby McMahon promotion at some point.
Yeah, it's like you always push the button to make the top two lines the best you can, and that clearly is the answer. The underlying numbers when Pontus Holmberg plays on that line.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Pretty good. Pretty
Coach
good.
Coach likes them.
They control. I was thinking, here's a random thought I was thinking driving in here today. There's a couple guys that Berube has got wrong. I think we have all been following this core four team for the whole way along, and one thing we all knew after last year, Bobby McMahon was a player.
Yeah.
He was healthy scratch for game one. Brewery didn't like his camp, wasn't as enamored with him. That, to me, he, like, had him wrong. We got him right. He ends up scoring 20 goals and using him. David Kampf, I think he has wrong. David Kampf, he has them in the same rotation as, you know, Holmberg and Yarncroc. He scratches them. He doesn't love David Kampf. We've seen David Kampf here be a very valuable player. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the other one that I think maybe either I have wrong or he has wrong, he loves Holmberg.
He does.
And I don't know, where are you? Is this a valuable player, Holmberg? Is this someone that Berube has found that maybe I just can't see it the way he sees it?
I think he has had a nice finish to the season, which will earn him a start. But I would have him in that mix of you better keep that up or you could be taking a seat.
Because there's no obvious out-of-the-lineup forwards. You got 14 of them with Pacioretty healthy.
For sure. And I think Cali Yarncroc, I haven't been overly impressed by him. And, you know, there's a good reason for that. He missed like three quarters of the season. Yeah. He's coming, jumping on a speeding train. I think he would tell you this if he was sitting here, that he doesn't feel like he's quite found it yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys that is in the mix and may fall out of favor.
I don't really know why they're trying to make the Domi Willie JT thing.
But it's the Domi thing.
Well, no,
they don't know where to put him. He doesn't fit.
For sure.
Not that he's not good. That, again, I'm not saying he can't play. It's mm-hmm. that he doesn't fit, obviously, anywhere on this roster. And that's last year they entered playoffs with him in the top six, too. He played by Matthews.
But what are you philosophically trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know the second you put Bobby McMahon on that line, like Luke mentioned,
it's gets in the really forecheck, wins pucks.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And they had a long stretch this year where we had people commenting at Leafs Talk and tweeting in and being like, that's the Leafs' number one line. Like, it's their best line. Like, that works.
Yeah.
So you're trying to go into the playoffs to the most important time of the year where you're trying to steal a line here, where you're trying to, like, put Domi up there so you can make the bottom six better. Philosophically, if I'm a coach, I know that I have two excellent hockey lines that are going to be really good.
Yeah.
Press. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, hit me. Like, I'm going back to that.
And then keep searching for a mix in the bottom
six. For sure.
Six.
Like, Bobby McMahon on that second line has been really good. We've talked about it before with him. When he goes down to the bottom half of the lineup, gets a little bit lost.
Yeah.
He's not quite the same player when he's not playing with good players.
He's just so streaky.
He's streaky. When he plays with Willie finds him a lot. Tavares, it's a good mix. Yeah. So for me, if I'm going to the playoffs, I just want to go back to McMahon, Willie, and JT because I know it's really good. And you have two elite, borderline elite lines.
Yeah.
Why not press? You don't have to mix it all throughout the lineup to me.
Well, let's find out what Craig Berube has to say. Clip two on Domi, Willie, JT.
Clip two. Dos.
Two.
Por favor.
Yeah.
There's things I like and there's things that I don't particularly like all the time. For me, it's about them managing the puck more than anything. I think, they got to understand that, hope plays aren't good plays. You know, we need good hockey plays. And if they can get that mindset, that could be a dangerous line. I mean, I think you have a little bit of everything on that line. But, you know, they did a lot of good things. There's things that they probably can do better, too.
Wants he puck management.
He doesn't love it.
No, I don't think that's going to hold. Anytime the coach is like, I work on the puck management, and you think about it, all three of them are guys who are pretty risky.
Yeah. Like, how worried are you guys that we're about to go into game 82 here? Mm-hmm. There's probably not much to learn in game 82.
No.
And they're still figuring out this middle six.
Yeah, it's...
Moderately concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look around the league, I don't follow teams day to day like I do with the Leafs. I mean, I watch games, but I don't watch their morning skates. I'm not on top of what lines are. But how many teams around the league are searching for something at this point of the season? Like, the Leafs have won the Atlantic, and they haven't had like set lines basically for the last month. They've been trying different things. We've wanted them to try different things, but at this point, you'd hope whatever they've tried, they've settled on something and they've figured it out. They're not trying to insert Domi into the top six here to try to change the lineup.
If you know you're going to be in playoffs, the purpose of the 82 games is to come up with as many viable options as possible. And the only two we're sure about, they're not going with the McMahon second line one. You know, that's one of the two we're sure about. So, you know, maybe they found something on the fourth line. They seem to like Lawton, Lorenz, and Yarncroc. Yeah.
But that's kind of the third line, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yes. When they do the morning skate thing, they'll list it as the fourth line, yeah. But then it's kind of the third line. I think they played 15 against Carolina. I think
they play more
than the fourth line.
So I want to turn the page and go to these questions before if we want to go back and do the – okay.
I think there's a very good conversation to have about the core stuff.
Okay.
Because I don't know who it was that asked the question. Luke was down there today, but – Clip 3, Derek, if you could play it, it has the question in it with the answer.
A lot of the core guys in this room have experienced some playoff disappointment the last 7-8 years. What do you have to do to make sure that that isn't something that...
That's in the past. I don't talk to them about it. It's in the past. I'm focused on tonight's game and then going forward.
We're on to Cincinnati.
So I do think that this is pretty good. I do like the way that he said that, mm-hmm. that you can talk about how these guys have all these scars, and boy, we could talk about that we could do a 2-hour show on just that. But having a different coach, I was skeptical if it was going to actually make a difference, mm-hmm. but they have been very different this year. Mm-hmm. The way they've played, the way they've looked, the way they've felt, it has looked and felt different. And when you're one of these core guys, when you look back and it's not Sheldon Keefe who you went through these heartbreaks with, where he's not, you know every beat of him, he knows every beat of you, there's a different relationship. I do think his consistent tone and everything he said, I do think it can make a difference. Like, I am full on feeling different and it's horrifying.
And he's been very consistent. In that's in the past.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you ask about Joseph Woll at the beginning of the season. Well, I don't know what he was like before I got here, but he's looked good since I got here.
We used to make fun.
That's kind of been his MO.
I mean, he won't even weigh in on the Battle of Ontario. He was like, I didn't see it. I wasn't here. It's like,
We used to make fun of it and be like, you have YouTube. Like, watch some videos,
refresh. It's refreshing for the guys, I think.
Well, you're right. That doesn't weigh into his evaluation. That probably does help. I was thinking that going into a series like this, because he's not dramatic. He doesn't, he doesn't blow up any of the highs and lows and stuff. It's probably going into the series, he's saying, just keep playing. And it kind of shows a trust and a belief that if you do just keep playing, it'll be okay. I'm sure that instills some confidence. And the other thing I was thinking too is this Senators decor, which I know they're not playing the Senators tonight, is very different from the decors that has shut down the Leafs core four in the past. It's been Ekblad and Hedman and Carlo and Long, Rangy,
Carlo, he plays for the Leafs now,
that's
right?
Nice.
Yes.
But it's been different types. And now it's like, okay, it's Shabbat. Sanderson obviously is the great skater. But those are different types of guys that are going to wear the bulk of the minutes. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that won't mean a few more openings for Matthews and Marner than usual. Even if it is a trade of chances, because they probably will get burned here and there, I think you would take that, given how shut down they've been.
And the other thing is the Leafs are suddenly a forechecking team. Like, can they wear down a Shabbat and a Sanderson?
Get body on those guys.
Well, like, Sanderson's never been through a best of seven.
Right.
I think he's the most talented defenseman in the series.
Yep.
But if you wear him down, what's he going to be like in game 5, game 6?
Yeah.
The 8th time Matthew Nyes trucks them.
Right.
And
I think about some of the third pair decors that they've seen in the past, whether it's been guys like, I don't know, Chernak or, whoever it's been for Boston. But this Cleven, Hamonic, Montempolo, there's going to be some openings for these guys. I think this is the year those guys get 10 points each in a round.
Okay.
Sens are half decent defensively, though.
They are. Yeah. And they got good goaltending, too. Yeah. But there's going to be a few more cracks anyway.
Yeah, so I think a lot of, it would be really nice to have the middle of the ice be open a little bit more here and there in a playoff series at least, because it just feels, except for the one against Tampa, where Vasilevskiy just would not stop letting in soft goals for 6 games, maybe the biggest reason they won. It'd be nice to just have a little bit more space for them. And is it unmovable force versus
immovable?
What is it? Immovable force versus unstoppable, whatever
object,
that is.
Yeah.
It feels like
flipped, but anyway.
Whatever it is. The Leafs' playoff experiences, which are many and bad, versus the inexperience of the Ottawa Senators, where sure, they have nothing to lose. This is new for them. But like, which side of this is going to be a really fascinating battle of two different styles.
Yeah, so I heard Nick Robertson have a quote today where he's like, we've got the playoff experience or whatever. And I was like, He kind of does. You know, I know it's not all good, but he was there in Columbus. He played 6 games last year. I don't know what he has, but it's got to be.
Did he play when he was 14 against the Blue Jackets? Like, how old is he in that series? Feels like he's been around forever.
He's still the second youngest Leaf, and he feels crazy. Like he's been on the
23
team for,
or something like that?
Yeah.
So we'll hope that, you know, the inexperience for the Senators in the playoffs comes in. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that are picking against the Leafs, which is so easy. Like, I just see every person that wants to troll
me. I'm going to go ahead and just say it's a spite pick at that point, because I've gone through the data. I watched. There's no reason to think the Sens win the series outside of Leafs ghosts. And so if you want to say Leafs ghosts is the reason I think they'll lose, I'm in.
Yeah.
You can have that one. But if you're like, the Senators forwards, you know, the top three forwards in the series are on the Leafs. You know, Brady Tkachuk,
I think it was one of the Sens Twitter accounts, one of their fan accounts, put out like an unbiased list. And it's like Matthews first, Brady Tkachuk second.
Right.
For the forwards in the.
Yeah.
It's just a million. Like, I'm like, they got what they wanted. Good for them. I love it. Like, it's starting. I think, you know, we'll get into this, like, a lot of these questions. But for a lot of Leaf fans, you know, you've been going up against the Bruins, which is a natural rival, but it's not a close rival. Where, like, you're going up where, like, you could have a buddy who's a Sens fan. You could have, like, family who's from Ottawa who are Sens fan. Like, this is, like, way closer than it's been.
Buddy.
So we'll see. But I think this is going to be a much different feel amongst the fans than it has been in years past.
I actually had a friend text me, is Sammy ready for the Leafs to be agitated by Greg, Tkachuk, Perron?
No.
Pinto.
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah. So we had, you know, there's 7 games in the series.
Yes.
Sammy has created 7 Battle of Ontario question marks. We only have, you know, 40 minutes left in the hour.
We'll do a couple before we hit the break.
Yeah.
You want to start with the first one?
I'll start with the top and we'll throw it around the room. Question number one, the most hated figure for Leafs fans. Who's going to be the most hated figure in the series for Leafs fans and the most hated figure for Sens fans? I think for Leafs fans, it's
easy.
Thank you very much. That's a great job. Is anyone here not going to pick Brady Tkachuk?
Wow. I will pick Tkachuk, but I'll throw another one out there.
Yeah,
Nick Cousins, guys.
Oh yeah, wow.
Like and there was
a sleep on that,
and there was a bit of a history there.
He tried to take off Quillen,
take off his knee leg.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was a tough start to Quillen's career.
Yeah, Ridley Greig, throw him in there too.
Yeah,
I think that this is.
I rewatched that, by the way. Sorry, the Riley on Greig the other day. Boy, he greased him pretty good.
Oh my God, he hammered him. That's actually not to a too inside baseball here, but that was Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
And JD and I didn't do Leafs talk that night because I was away at a Super Bowl cottage. He was not doing it. And we were watching the game. And
the worst one to not do.
I looked at my phone was in the room. I went down like to go to bed. I looked at my phone. I was like, oh, shouldn't have looked at that. Like, literally, where the hell's Leafs talk? Oh my God, that was a horrible one to miss. But I think Ridley Greig, for that, like, everyone knows Tkachuk is what he is.
Yeah.
But he's also really effective and, like, a good hockey player, too.
Yeah.
But I do think that Ridley Greig has a chance to be number one. If I was going to do, like, the power rankings,
if
I think
he's willing to be.
Oh, yeah. I think
he'll be willing.
Yeah. I think that's his whole, like, I'm sure that Travis Green is having a-holes only meeting.
Yeah, you're fine.
With Tkachuk. With Cousins, with...
I would love that. I would love if he was having a meeting
Perron, with Greig, being like, these guys, you know, they don't necessarily have the pushback that you guys do. Walk the line, try not to take penalties or whatever. But they're going to use that element. Mm-hmm. That has to be an element they use.
When we get farther down, one of the questions is the answer for how the Sens could pull it off is that.
They're just like the... But I mean, then
Greig,
you start taking
it into the mud and
start taking penalties. Yeah. It could go the other way, but I'm picking Ridley Greig.
So then the other part of that is the most hated figure for Sens fans. And I love this question because it's actually tough.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'll let you go first, Luke. Who do you think would be the most hated figure for Senators fans?
Well, my gut instinct was Domi, but I'm going to go with Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Great pick.
He is
interesting.
I've watched so many games this season where stuff happens behind the play. He gets into it with one member of the opposing team and they have like a mini feud that lasts 60 minutes.
Yeah.
He's sneaky, edgy.
And he's never going to fight, so he's just going to keep driving you crazy.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot of action around the net front, and he's going to be pushing guys away from Stolarz and Wall at eventually, probably.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's going to get into it with some of the Sens forwards, and their MO is going to be to make life difficult on really good Leafs goaltending. So
for sure.
I'm going to go with OEL.
OEL is on my list, too. I also have Knies. Because Knies, seeing him draw Chernak the other day, I feel like he's confidence-wise come into his own as a run-your-mouth guy.
I think my pick would be Jake McCabe. Because I think Jake McCabe or potentially Scott Laughton.
Oh, Laughton's a good pick.
Yeah, those are, because I think Scott Laughton has a lot more to give on the greasy side of things. I think he's really, over the last, I don't know, 3 weeks, he's really started to, maybe not 3 weeks, 2 weeks, started to find his role on the team.
Him more lately.
Improving. And we were sort of promised a bit of grease. We haven't seen it since his stage fight. Was it Greg? He fought Greg, right? Yeah. I do think that there's a chance for him to get a little greasy and do something. But my number one pick would be McCabe because I think he's going to hammer something.
And Scott Laughton, when he signed here, one of the first things he said is like, I can't wait to get back to the playoffs.
Yes.
Last time he played the playoffs, I believe the Flyers were in the bubble, no fans, and now he's hometown, little bit of pressure to
Ontario,
you know, make a name for yourself, clean slate too on the score sheet, so no one's going to be bringing up that good he point. Has no goals. I think he just misses playoff hockey. I think it's a good sneaky good pick.
It's funny that none of us did pick Domi, but
the Domi is probably a pretty good pick,
but I do feel like Domi just will have a flare up and he'll fight, and you know, like, it doesn't feel like a constant seven game series. Won't
It could be. But you know, you mentioned Scott Laughton there. In 1920, when he played, 2020, in that playoff run, which I guess was the bubble, as you reminded me, he played 15 games. He had 9 points, scored 5 goals, and had 4 assists. So his last action in the playoffs, he was pretty good. So
that's ahead of the Matthews Marner pace, I think, in both seasons.
No question. No question.
All right. Which brings us to our obvious next question. Mm-hmm. Biggest storyline.
Like, I went to hate first before I went to this.
That was well done. Biggest storyline in the series is?
I think there's an argument for the coaching aspect for the Leafs and how different it looks for the Leafs and just like what it's going to look like between Sheldon Keefe and him. But it's odd. But the number one thing is just Leafs playoff ghosts.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned it before.
Yeah.
But the only real way. Like, Sens are good. They're a great team. They made the playoffs, but like, they have significantly less league points than the Leafs this year. Like, they are not as good as the Leafs. But the only way it really comes up is the ghosts, and the ghosts, unfortunately, are the biggest storyline.
Yeah,
for me at least.
What do you have?
Yeah, I have something similar for sure, because so the Leafs beat the Senators in this series. You say, wow, you know, Ottawa made the playoffs. Yeah. What a step forward. They got a taste. That's something to build on. End of story.
Yeah,
but Leafs lose.
Yeah.
It's they can't get it done. Who's getting fired? Who's walking out the door for nothing?
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Well, the timing.
It's a thing.
So mine is, I have written Leafs pressure, and it's because all of the previous failures, you know, they say the whole thing about, like, was it cracking a rock? It's not the 100th blow. It's the 99 before that kind of do the damage, you know? Right now, I see a thing of like TNT. It's got TNT on the box with the handle, and your bitter rival, the other team in Ontario, has the handle and has the chance to nuke the whole thing.
Yes.
Like, the very people you don't want to be holding it have it within their power to say, buy Marner, buy Tavares, who knows
buy
what
Shanny
else.
Potentially. Who knows? Like,
who
it's
knows?
A lot.
You know, and it's like, that could change fundamentally everything about what has been this team that has been regular season dominant for almost a decade.
Remember the playoff battle of Alberta when it came out that the Oilers broke the Flames?
Yes.
When you were saying that, that's what popped into mind.
You cannot.
The Senators could lay claim to, we are the ones that broke the Maple Leafs.
Finally.
What would you know about pressure?
I would say that I will forever have so much disdain towards this core if they ruin the Battle of Ontario for me. Because the Battle of Ontario is like my fondest memories. it's the number one,
the success.
It's the number one thing that, like, you know, I've heard, seen JD talking about it. We've talked about it with him. Like, just, it's formed my my real fanship. You know, I was a little young for other stuff.
But I feel like it's going to happen.
But if it, if this core loses to the Sens and then Shanny's gone, Marner's gone, and it's like, we ended the lease, blah, 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 like,
you'll never forget.
I, like, I'm going on a sabbatical. Like, I, like, the Monday after the series is over, I get Disco Dan in here. I'm gone.
Just don't leave a jersey on the bus before you go on that sabbatical.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
What was that song you sent in our group chat? Are we
we'll talk about it later. Yeah, I've got a crazy bus song sent to me. I don't know. I still haven't really hammered out the details if that's AI or recorded, or I sent a DM to a guy about it. So we'll talk about it after.
All
I'll
right.
play it for you guys, or for you, Luke, in the break.
All right.
Somebody made a song about the jersey.
Which player will be the series X factor? Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, I got Brady Tkachuk. Good just one. Because, you know, I think he's the heartbeat of that team. Apparently he's fully healthy and even playing tonight, I believe.
Oh, is
but,
he?
You yeah. know, he has battled multiple injuries
yeah.
Since Four Nations. One of them suffered at Four Nations. So I think his health is an X factor. His play is an X factor. I mean, this guy's been champing at the bit to play playoff yeah. hockey. He's in the, you know, Saddle Dome with beers in his pockets. Then he's following around Matthew for both his cup runs. I actually interviewed him on the ice after Matthew won the cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And it, like, he's just dying to play playoff yeah. hockey.
Great.
Now, is that...
But he might make some Kadri-like mistakes
That's what I was going to say. So does he channel that into, I'm scoring 5 goals this series, or does he channel it into a 2-game suspension?
Just absolutely behead someone off the opening draw with his stick.
Well, we've had multiple conversations about Brady Tkachuk on this show where we've watched the Sens play multiple times this year against the Leafs, other games where it's just, can you just play hockey, man?
Yeah.
Where you're really good at hockey.
Yeah.
And like, you're above having to do this every shift. Like, it's a factor, I understand that. But the thing that scares me is when the games were really high stakes at the Four Nations, he was spectacular. He was really good at the Four Nations.
But I actually did think it took him a bit to get settled in.
Sure,
he was,
I mean,
pretty fired up.
He scrapped in the first game. He dropped the gloves. Like, was he the first one that did it?
No, Matthew was the first one. Right?
Yeah, and then it was Hagel. Bennett and yeah. Brady that did it after. But in that gold medal game, him and Matthews were both out of this world good.
Yeah.
He scores a tying goal. He yeah. almost like scores our country ending goal when he shoots it into the net, almost on the goal.
He almost became America.
Yeah, he almost became America. So how good he played in that is scary for me. Who's your X factor?
Austin Matthews.
Oh, okay. Well, mine's Mitch Marner.
No, well, this is the thing. I thought you guys would take the low hanging fruit, yeah. just goalies.
No,
it's like,
no,
you know, whatever. To me, it's like, this guy, which guy is he?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen both versions of a guy who is a Hart Trophy winner.
Crushed
and
it.
I don't know, what do you call it when he's not that? He's had some stretches where he's been not good. And frankly, I think he's been not great lately.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's saving it a little bit.
I kind of do too.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Really hope that's true.
Yep.
When he's gone, he's gone, right?
I believe he has 54 points in the last, since the calendar turned January 1st, which is fourth best in the NHL. So, like, it's not like he's not been playing well, but we've seen games where he pours it on and it looks different. So, the other one would be Nyes, which is also a top end guy, but can he be sort of net front garbage man? We have gone on too long.
I'll quickly sneak mine in here before we go. Give me Riley. Riley's the X factor.
Good one.
Yeah, because, I mean, the only real hope for him all year is that it's the
playoff Riley.
The switch flips and he
Bubble
goes
Demko.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, let's flip the switch here. Hopefully this is because that's all you've really been able to hang your hat on all year, because it clearly has been not a great year for him. He's been in the spotlight. He's been a whipping boy here. If he's good, if he like turns himself into what it's been like against Tampa, he was good against Boston. Like,
point per game, plays 23 minutes.
If that happens, the Leafs D-core is stacked.
Yeah.
It just is. Like, they have a legit shutdown top pair with, for the first time ever, with Tanev and McCabe. Carlo and Riley has been really good since Riley's gotten here. And then you just, you know,
Wael Benoit.
And then So if Riley is playoff Riley, at least D-core looks great.
Yeah.
So that's my X factor, is Riley.
I think it's
great. If you can turn it around
like this,
there you go.
And totally redeem yourself.
And when we're back, we have four more questions to preview some of the Leafs End series, and we will be back in just a couple minutes.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL, the J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Bourne and McKee and Fox. Today, we are a different crew, sans Kipper, and we're going to carry on doing our postseason preview a little bit. We're going to do more tomorrow with Kip. We'll go through all the series, and we'll break down Ottawa a little bit more, too.
It reminds me, tomorrow, we're going to do our first block like we usually would.
Good memory.
But it's a very important time. It's playoff leaf line time.
Playoff leaf line time. You heard him here first.
And do you guys do leaf line when I was gone?
No.
Really?
We did.
Did you?
We did a few.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, it's a very important time. So the number is 416-413-4141. 416-413-4141, I think. Yeah, that's the number. So call it. Call it and leave a message. And if it's good, I'll play it. So there you go.
All right. We're going to carry on with our questions from Sammy, which I love this one here. What is the nightmare scenario for Leafs fans and the nightmare scenario for Sens fans? Should we just have yours? Why don't you go first and get us out of the
way? We kind of laid it out and when we were talking about the Senators, like, ending the Leafs.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, the
tough to out nightmare that.
The TNT rock thing was a very good sort of comparison. And I can't really go by that. I think there's another scenario where, for the first time ever, Matthews and Marner are, like, really great and then, like, Stolarz and Wallace turn into pumpkins. Right? Like, it's like that, I think, where they're like, for the first time ever, the core four guys are really great together and it goes seven games and they score a bunch of goals. They have 10 points each, like you laid out. And then Wall can't sell, or Stolarz lets in a couple weak ones. They go down early. Like, there's just those two to me would be the big ones. But outside of the Sens ending the Leafs as we know it, there's not many bigger nightmares than that.
Anything else to add on that?
No, Mike, turn your mic on.
There you go. We got you. You're back. Yep.
I would say the reverse sweep would be the worst.
Oh.
If they go up, they go up 3-0, and that would be the worst way to go out.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, and blowing a 3-1 series lead like the Montreal Canadiens, something like that.
That happened. It's harder to construct the opposite. What is the nightmare scenario for the Senators?
Okay, and this occurred to me earlier this week in Buffalo, where it turned into a party at KeyBank Center for the Maple Leafs. All the Sabres fans, what few of them there were, filed out early, and Matthews gets his milestone, and Marner gets his milestone, and the Leafs clinch, and Stolarz gets a shutout.
In
your barn. Mm-hmm. And all these Leaf fans are hanging around after. What if they turn the Canadian Tire Center into that in game 4 or 6? I guess it would be. And the Sens fans just get out-cheered, and it turns into a big Leaf fan party.
Yeah.
In Canada.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a better one.
It's funny that that's off ice, though, right? Yeah. Like, we're not even talking about an on-ice scenario.
I just mean the scene. Like, it's like you finally make the playoffs, and the opposing team, your bitter rival, just throws a party in your house.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, the only thing I had written was that, you know, there is the ways that this can go right for Ottawa is that shut down the core and the goaltending in Toronto is not perfect. And, you know, they go 6 or 7, they squeak by, they, you know, blow up the team, whatever. There's a chance, because the Leafs are, I think most people would agree, better team, has more talent. There's a chance the Leafs just beat them outright.
Yeah.
You know, like they beat them in 4 or 5 games, Senators scored 6, 7 goals over the series. You know, that where it's like, we're not that close.
Yeah.
That's the scenario, the nightmare scenario for them, where they're like, we got a lot of work to
do. Yeah, that was where they're like, really? And listen, the Sens
I'm not
fans,
saying that's going to happen.
They are so excited, and good for them.
Yes.
They can be excited. They haven't had a chance to be excited in a long time. They're good for them. But if the Leafs just blow them out of the water, it would be a pretty big nightmare for them.
Where
they're just like been talking so much junk and they've been, you know, they're like, 0-3 in the regular season. It's been 5 straight that they beat the Leafs.
Yeah.
Like they're really, really excited about it. And then the playoff switch happens and the Leafs just kick the crap out of them. That would be a nightmare.
Because the other piece of that is, you know, Perron's getting older, Giroux's getting older, and Jensen's getting older, and start going, how are they going to get better next year than they are now?
Yeah.
You know, they would have some work to do.
Oh, I forgot for a hated guy, Stützle, by the way.
Oh, diving?
In my mind, he dives. Yeah. He's the worst diver in the league.
Think so?
Oh, no question. I think if you did an NHL player poll about worst diver in the league, he's number one, but no question. Maybe Kadri.
Yeah.
Maybe Holmberg. He draws every penalty.
Holmberg does.
But Stutzla's brutal. He's got that tinted visor. Leaf fans are going to hate him.
I like him a lot.
He kills Leafs, too. He's really good against them.
Which Leafs forward outside the top six will score a big goal, Luke?
Steven Lorenz.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. So after that Buffalo game, he was the only one with actual vivid recollections of the Battle of Ontario.
Passionate.
Yeah. Yeah, talking about, you know, during the commercial breaks, he'd be pretending to be the Leafs, shooting it in the mini stick net that he had right by the TV. You know, he was talking about Patty Lalime and Joe Nieuwendyk. Yeah. And, like, this guy lives this, right? And now he's like, now I get to be in it.
Yeah.
Five-game winners already this season for old Stevie Lawrence.
Five?
Yeah, he's got eight goals.
Because he got the one in Buffalo.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah. It was the old, yeah, they
up
shut
to
him out.
Five. I think
that's
going to
be near the top in the team.
Yeah.
He's got eight goals, yeah.
Yeah, he's got eight goals, five of them game winners. So put me down for Lorenz.
Yeah, that's a good one. Sammy?
I'm going to say, I think the easy one would be Bobby McMahon. Mm-hmm. But I'll say...
I count him as top six.
I'll say Scott Laughton.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think I really, because of how down it's been on him since the start of him getting here and how much, you know, ink has been spilt about how bad it's been for him since he got here. I do think there's a world where there's like sports are weird and it just flips and he's really good.
Yeah.
And he, you know, scores an OT winner, big fight, something happens. I'm bullish on Scott Laughton headed to the playoff things. I think his game's in a good place and I think he's going to be a real factor in this series. So I think it's going to be him that scores a big one.
Please make it a breakaway slap shot.
Oh, that would be unbelievable.
I love the slap shot.
Did you see the one he scored on last year?
Yes. It was the most like ferocious bar down
clean.
Ever. Like, it's like loud, ringing in your ears. What about you, Borny?
So, I'll stick with last year. I was on this, and it didn't happen. Nick Robertson does not need much. He doesn't need many looks. He doesn't need many moments. He just needs one in the right spot, and he shoots it as well. When he was – I've said this on the show before, but when he was on the American League team, I had friends. I had just left the Marlies. They – you know, and these guys would all skate together, and they said – and everyone take a breath here. They said, he shoots it as well as Auston Matthews.
Yeah.
He doesn't – get it off as quickly. He doesn't get to the same spots. He's not as powerful, whatever. But you give the two of them a puck and say, hit this spot in the net. Robertson might do it harder and, you know, as accurately. So he doesn't need many of those opportunities. One of them. It's got to happen once. He was skunked last year entirely. So
I love that.
Here's to hope when he gets his moment.
I mean, he's got to.
He's played well the last couple weeks. I really liked his game.
He's on the puck. Eh? Yeah, he's under sticks, and he's winning pucks back, which is how he's going to stay in the lineup.
Steven Lorenz tied with Kirill Kaprizov, Adrian Kempe, Carter Verhaeghe, Jake Guentzel, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Stefan Nason. Bunch of good names that he's tied with for game-winning goals this year.
You know, you go. He scored two goals for the Florida Panthers in playoffs last year, and I think at least one of them was a game winner. I need to go back and watch, but he's scored playoff goals. It's happened.
He can shoot it in. Like that goal he scored against Buffalo was a snipe.
Found a soft spot and hit it.
Yeah.
Love this question, and our listeners are going to love this question too. If you could have one player from the old Battle of Ontario on today's Leafs, who would you pick? Who you want this one first? Take it.
Yeah, I think this is a very philosophical question again about what you think the Leafs need.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like easy to be like, give me Matt Sundin.
I mean, the obvious answer is to be
there's
give
your
me
3C.
The best player.
Yeah.
And the Sundin's 3C. You're in a good spot.
You know, you could talk me into the Ottawa Senators head coach, Travis Green. Like, you could talk me into Tucker. You could talk me into any of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, that element of just willing to go into the other team's bench type of guy to fight. But, I mean, my favorite player my whole life when I was a kid, up until I still have his jersey, I'm going Tucker. Give me Darcy Tucker.
Yeah, I had Sundin.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to overthink it.
Well, you
and also positional need. Really think, like,
I was going through this too, and I was like, that's the answer.
I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about their top six and who fits.
Matt's
my fit.
Prime Matt's.
Modern, like today, Matt's my fit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
And, you know, there's only one guy that knows how to correctly pronounce Yarncrook.
Yarncrook.
Yarncrook. Yeah. And Kipper doesn't do it every time.
I know.
So you can just say it, Yarncrook.
Yeah.
Yarncrook. There it is.
I had Tucker too.
Uh-huh.
I, you know, it is that element of just what they feel like they lack sometimes. I mean, well, recognizing Sundin's the right answer.
Wouldn't mind McCabe blasting.
Well, so McCabe's the other one I have written down for need. Yeah. You know, McCabe
throws some hits. 5-4 power play, though.
Yeah, it's true, but Caberle to McCabe, float over a saucer pass, just hammer it on that. I really enjoyed that.
I did say if I could take one player from the Battle of Ontario and drop it into the series, though.
Lilim.
Yeah.
Lilim, please. I will never, ever forget what I felt. Like I almost
Neuendijk shot at it.
The second one.
I remember watching that live.
I almost elevated to the clouds when that second one went in. Yeah. That's as excited as I've and shocked. And I think it was Bob Cole. What is going on? The best.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that was positive and fun. We're going to end it on a negative note.
Sorry. I guess I could have done these better.
What happens if the Leafs lose the series? We kind of already hit on this, right? Do we think it goes all the way to the top? Do we think it's no Marner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the chances of Marner walking go way, way up.
Yeah. Way, way up.
Yeah. And I think the president might be in danger. I mean, you're looking at a 1-9 postseason series record for this core.
I know. And some of the stats of like in elimination games, boy. And it's just like, it's getting tough to look at.
Even like, why? I mean, I know being the president of the Leafs got to be sick, but like, if they lose this year, like, why would you want it? Like, go to the
got a lot of money now.
I was just in Hawaii.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
It's so cool
there, man. Like, you're rich beyond your
Marlin.
You're rich beyond your wildest dreams. Like, just go anywhere else.
You get that high burn rate once you're living like that, I think.
But is there any way that just like it's kind of the same?
So yes,
because
there is a way.
We've had this exact same conversation for 5 straight years, and the coach changed last year, mind you. That's fair. They've changed the general manager. I get that. But, like, you know, the players have never changed. I do think there's a world where it's like a run-it-back situation, even if they lose in the first round.
Everybody stay calm.
You so recently just hired Berube. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. They're the great first time they've won a division in
And Treliving did a great job building out the team.
Treliving, you look going into the year – you know, they added Chris Tanev and Brandon Carlo to their decor.
And Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And Anthony Stolarz.
You know.
Pretty good offseason and trade deadline.
What else are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, I guess you can be mad about Lawton.
Sure.
How mad are you?
Yeah. They'll be mad in 3 years when they pick the next Seth Jarvis with that pick. That's when they'll be mad.
Right.
Right now, you can't get too bent out of shape with it. But
the point is, those two guys, it doesn't feel like they're going anywhere. Like, Shanny feels like he is respected and, you know, you know, they've put a good product on the ice for years.
Yeah. Well, Keith Pelley came in here saying that winning is the only thing that matters.
Yeah, true.
So how's that going to look if they don't win?
Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know.
It felt like he wanted to take a year to, you know, give everyone
oversee it a little bit. Yeah.
And unity, chemistry, great skill.
I don't think it's going to be the craziest thing that if they potentially lose to the Ottawa Senators, which I don't think they're going to, but if they do, I don't think it's the craziest thing that, like, Marner's just re-signed.
Well, it's like Marner, you know, behind the scenes, whatever, it seems like he would like to be a Maple Leaf.
Yeah.
It seems like that would be his...
Party buses are longer from Toronto to Colorado for your 100th point.
I love that player. Yeah. I love the guy.
It feels like he wants to be there. So, you know, if he has 10 points in a 7-game loss,
I think
how do you not try to re-sign him?
I think it can't be perceived as his fault.
Yes, I would say that's fair.
Like
if he plays well and the team loses.
And it's not his fault and he's not the number one whipping boy, which he's been in this era.
Yeah.
Him and all the other guys that have been whipping boys. If it's not like on his shoulders, I still do think there's a world where it comes. But if he's brutal and like everybody's killing him again, he's gone.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is a potential. Because we said 100 years in a row that it's never going to be.
Yeah.
They'll never bring everybody back and they have. Right?
It is tough. It's like...
This is too negative a conversation.
I know, but you've heard...
Power rank their Marner destinations in the offseason.
I heard someone, you know, a bunch of Jets fans being like, Neil Pionk, you know, he's this, he's that, he makes mistakes. But the risk of losing Neil Pionk, you're worse without him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same with Marner.
Yep.
And it's the same with Tavares, who just scored 38 goals. It's like, it's tough to get good players.
Magical amulet.
Want to say thank you so much
Great
for
job.
Coming in today,
Luke.
Thanks for Thanks for having me in here.
It was fun covering the biggest game of the year tonight.
Yes. I'm sure you'll be paying the utmost attention. Appreciate your time. We always enjoy your work and look forward to having you back on during the postseason. When we come back, we're going to talk to Renaud Lavoie and Jacob Stoller for the Winnipeg Jets, get into all things national after this.